So if, say we are in, if somebody is involved in animal research and that is a profession, so how do we reconcile that with the principles of bhakti? See, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Sarvarambha hi doshena dhumenagnirivavrita. In 18.47, he says that all endeavors are covered by fault, just like smoke is covered by fire. So if somebody wants a pure profession, there is no profession in this world that is absolutely pure. Somebody might be writing software programs, but later on that software program may be purchased by a slaughterhouse, which may be slaughtering animals. Now, how can we control that? We don't know who is going to use that software program afterwards. So in a sense, in this world, there's nothing can be absolutely pure. That does not mean that we become indiscriminate and do anything and everything. But we need to have that principle that actually a full purity is not possible in this world. And within that, we can try to avoid as much anti-devotional professions as possible. So actually, animal research is very different from say animal slaughter. So animal slaughter is directly, you know, we are killing life which has been created by God, and that is directly anti-devotional. That has to be given up. But with respect to animal research, since that is the profession that one is in, so there are certain things in the world which are anyway going to go on. And then what we can do is we can try to find ways in which the non-devotional or the anti-devotional element can be minimized. For example, Srila Prabhupada at one time was so accommodating, he says that if people have to eat meat and they can't give up eating meat, let them eat meat, but let them wait till the animals die naturally. Don't kill the animals. So Prabhupada was going ready to go far. You can't give up meat, but don't commit violence for eating. So it's not, so there are certain activities people may not be able to give up. So similarly, we may be in a situation that certain things are profession. Then what we could do is we could try to find out, use our God-given intelligence to find out ways in which we can minimize the non-devotional element for ourselves and maybe set up systems by which the non-devotional elements can be decreased for others also. So that means, say that animal research can be done in as non-violent or non-intrusive ways as possible, and as in conditions as close to natural as possible. This is something which we can individually, we'll have to take stock of that. Okay, how to do it in my particular situation. But it is not that there are two extremes to it. One is that if, say, we are engaged in something wrong, something undesirable, something less than laudable, or in a, as a profession or whatever, you know, it is not that Krishna will hold that against us when we are practicing bhakti. Our bhakti practice will still give us credit. So in the Mahabharata, there's the example that Bhishma Pitamaha, he remained silent when Draupadi was being dishonored. And now that was a grievous error for him. It's an error in judgment when a chaste lady is being publicly dishonored for him to remain silent. Now Krishna, that was a mistake on his part. In the ultimate perspective, ultimately it was a leela by which Krishna demonstrated how he alone is the protector. The point which I'm making is something different here, that Krishna, because Bhishma committed that mistake, it is not that Krishna forgot his bhakti because he had committed the mistake. Now, Krishna remembered the bhakti and Krishna appreciated the bhakti and Krishna rewarded that bhakti. At the same time, just because he was a bhakta, Krishna did not say your mistake is all right. Krishna was still displeased and Krishna told Arjuna, you have to fight against Bhishma. You have to fight against him. So it is that if some, now, this point of a mistake does not apply exactly to your profession, but I'm just giving a principle over here. That sometimes in our life, we may be caught in situations where we have to do certain things which are wrong. Now Krishna does not fault us in our bhakti because we had done something wrong. Our bhakti still goes on, and Krishna will give us credit for having practiced bhakti. At the same time, we shouldn't think that my bhakti practice becomes a license for doing whatever I'm doing. Because I'm doing bhakti, everything is all right. No, if there's some problem in some activity that I'm doing, that problem will be there and there'll be consequences for that. But ultimately, Krishna will protect us. So it's so it is so again to put it in general terms, that sometimes our attachments is not the best word over here, but our circumstances may hold on to us and may make us do something which is less than laudable. But even if that happens, we should never stop holding on to Krishna. If you keep holding on to Krishna, that holding on to Krishna will elevate us. And if you're praying to Krishna, we are using our God-given intelligence, we can connect with other people. Now, specifically with respect to this field, there are bioethics is a big field of research. And there are devotees also who are connected with this field. We can try to find out other devotees. And with them, we can find out specifically what could be done in this field to either minimize the karmic implications that we are getting or to find out a positive alternative within this field itself. So options can be worked out. So it is a problem, and we can't just trivialize the problem saying that I'm practicing bhakti. At the same time, we don't have to aggravate the problem so much thinking that because of this, okay, what is the use of my bhakti? Bhakti is always potent. It's like, say, somebody has fallen in a well and somebody is pulling them out of the well. So that person outside is holding on to them from that well and is pulling them out. But say that somebody inside the well is holding them down. Now, just because the person below is holding me down, that doesn't mean I have to let go of the person who's above. Then they will pull me down completely. What I have to do is keep holding on to the person above and then try to break free from whatever is holding me down. So that means, so Krishna is like the person above, we are in between. Our circumstances, our attachments, our situation, that's like holding us down. So even if our circumstances hold on to us, still we can hold on to Krishna. And gradually we'll find out how we can rise closer towards Krishna even through those circumstances. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji. Yeah.